Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Suta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Godhead, and you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentation on the Brahma Sutra, or the Bhadarayani Vedanta Sutras. It is called natural because Vyasadeva is the author of both the Vedanta Sutras and the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the essence of all Vedic literatures. Besides Vyasadeva, there are other sages who are the authors of six different philosophical systems, namely Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Astavakra. Theism is explained completely in the Vedanta Sutras, whereas in other systems of philosophical speculations, practically no mention is given to the ultimate cause of all causes. One can sit on the Vyasasan only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy so that one can present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance of all other systems. Srila Suta Goswami was the proper teacher, and therefore the sages of Naimasharanya elevated him to the Vyasasan. Srila Vyasadeva is designated herein as the personality of Godhead because he is the authorized, empowered incarnation. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamay Tadati Svapadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripriya Vanchakalpatra Vistakrupasan Nubhiyavicha Patita Nam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo. This theism and philosophy is like beyond my head. So I'm just going to present whatever I have to the best of my knowledge. And I think this is a class for Govinda or what Kartik Chandra people or Sutapa, you know, on all levels. Anyway, I'll just give what I researched. And if you can just give me your blessings, I'll just try what I can do. So, day before Vishwambhara gave a class, and a similar thing in the purport was mentioned as of today at the end, about one can sit on the Vyasasan only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy so that one can present fully the theistic views of Bhagavatam in defiance of all other systems. Srila Suta Goswami was the proper preacher, and therefore the sages as Naimasharanya elevated him to the Vyasasan. Srila Vyasadeva is designated herein as the personality of Godhead because he is the authorized, empowered incarnation. So I found something. We might say, oh, how can we ever be qualified to sit on the Vyasasan when this qualification is needed? Who can sit on the Vyasasan? and all the philosophical knowledge of all the Vedic literatures. Actually, the Vedas was one, Yajurveda, it was just one Veda, and it was broken into four, just to help the conditioned souls understand a little better about Vedic philosophy. But still, with this qualification needed to sit on the Vyasasan, I found something here where I like listening to other classes. You know, the sound vibration, it's easier to digest when others. I listen to Jayadvaita Maharaj's class, Keshava, Burijan, few people. And when you hear, you digest it better than when you're reading yourself. Sometimes there can be a tendency for speculation. So it's best through here. So here Prabhupada is saying, the minimum requirement is to repeat what knowledge the spiritual master has imparted to the student. That is the minimum knowledge that, you know, to sit on the Vyasasan. You have to follow. And here Srila Prabhupada, here the spiritual master through our own spiritual master. So when our spiritual master or anyone's spiritual master speak, then you're hearing to the spiritual master through Srila Prabhupada. Because as the Guru Parampara goes, nothing is changed. If every guru is following what their spiritual master has taught, then there's no break in that chain. As soon as there's deviation, then there's a problem. Then you go off the tracks, and then things get watered down. So here it's saying that how important it is that this requirement, we're sitting on the Vyasasan, which is a very, very super exalted seat. It's not for any ordinary person, but because we have a spiritual master and we abiding by the rules and regulations that he's setting out for us according to his spiritual master, how he's taught him. So in that line, if we follow sincerely, then meditating on his instructions, we're sitting here and we're giving exactly what they've given us. So in that way, we are safe. Therefore, I find it easier to listen than, the whole Vedic literature has been through sound vibration, sapta, from Lord Brahma. Actually, when Lord Brahma wanted to create, when Krishna, Supreme Lord, asked him to create the material world, he said, how am I going to do this? How am I going to create this whole material world? Especially putting the conditioned souls there and to, see their suffering. So Krishna said, all you need to think is that you haven't created the material world. I've given you the power to create this material world. So here, this translation is all about glorification. Glorification of devotees come when we completely take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada once said that, how will you know who is a good devotee? He said, you'll know who's a good devotee when everyone shows affection and loves this devotee. So we can look, for how am I loved by everyone? Am I criticized or am I glorified or am I praised? We can analyze ourselves where we are at in our, process of Krishna consciousness. So here, the sages at Naimisharanya, they are glorifying Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami is pure. He's completely qualified to sit on the high seat. He's the chief amongst all the sages there. The oldest, the elder, as it's explained here in the translation, being the eldest learned Vedantist, Vedanta. So now you can see how submissive all the sages are because they understand that Suta Goswami is such an elevated personality because he understands the Vedic literatures. He's got knowledge of all the Vedas. And he's very highly qualified, and it explains that he is... 1 minute. He's familiar with all the Puranas. He's called Vedavita. He is the most learned and Shrestha, the foremost scholar, explained. And people normally like to hear famous, highly qualified people. We can see in our own temples, when we have a good speaker, someone elevated, someone can give scripture as it is, then the temple room is completely full. There's no room. People are like Radhanath Maharaj, Deepataka Swami, even though our own spiritual master with an ISKCON, when they come, you can see, you know, they're such elevated speakers. So so he's also called Bhagavan Badarayana. He's Vyasadev. Vyasadev is another name, is Bhagavan Badarayana. And the sages are saying, because you follow the teachings of Vyasadev so closely, so you are qualified to sit on the seat. So he says, no one can spread knowledge without the empowerment of the Supreme Lord. So all the knowledge that is coming down by Guru Parampara right to Lord Brahma coming down are all empowered souls by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is like independently acting or speaking or imparting knowledge from themselves. So, yeah, it explains that how Vyasadev is the empowered plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But he played the part of an acharya. So because he played the part of an acharya, then he accepted a spiritual master, and Narada Muni was his spiritual master. And Prabhupada explains that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes, he shows by example how everyone needs a spiritual master. Lord Ram, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, he had Sandipani Muni as his spiritual master. So what to speak of us, every living entity? For any qualification in the material world, you need instruction or a guide. There's nothing, no equipment that you buy, unless you're a genius, you're learning something, and you can buy something, just open it and start using it. You take the manual and you read how to work it. So I don't know. In the material world, everything works through manuals, instructions, training, all these things. But when it comes to spiritual life, spiritual instructions, spiritual training, then there is some doubt and there is some skepticism. All these come in because the conditioned soul in the material world, they want to see everything physically. They want to see things working. They don't believe in sound, knowledge coming from sound. And yet they listen to the radio, they watch the news, and they just believe what they're watching there. When there's a flood, like in America, India, all these other places, they haven't seen, but just by looking at the news, they believe. So here, because they can't see, and some of the things in scripture might be a little beyond their head, might be a little esoteric for them to understand. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So they find it difficult to understand. So Vyasadeva has been very, very kind. He wanted to show causeless mercy on the living, on the conditioned souls. So he detached all the Vedic rituals are put into systems for the benefit of the fallen souls. So as I was saying, Vyasadeva showed etiquette to Narada Muni as his spiritual master, but he's actually the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord himself. So we have to take time to be on the side of glorification of devotees, as the sages are doing here. When someone is qualified, or even if they're unqualified, we need to help and train devotees to come to a, you know, understanding. I know there's a lot mentioned in this verse about the six processes of the philosophical process. I'll just name them, but I'm not going to go really deep into it. If you want, you can go on Vedabase or ISKCON Desire. Got the whole thing there about the six processes. I'll just a little bit tell you. Sorry, I'm fumbling here. Yeah, it explains here, it is the six process of different philosophical systems. When the four Vedas was broken up, then it was Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Astavakra took various areas of the philosophy and presented it in an easier way. So if you want to explore that, you can further. Is there any questions on that? I'm going to move on to Radhakund, glorification of Radhakund a little bit, because it's Radhakund's appearance day today, and it's a very special day. So if you got anything on the subject matter, you can enlighten me, because I find it very difficult to get deep into the theism and philosophy about, as I said before, last time I was reading, I find it easier to read Krishna book than get into deep stuff about creation. Or Prabhupada said, actually, we need to know about the creation of the world and what's going on, for preaching purposes. You know, when someone debates or asks you certain questions, and if you can't give them answers, then it's very difficult. But I pick out the easiest thing that I can find, like especially the Christians. Now, when they get into an argument or debate, all I say to them is, actually, I know a lot about Christianity, I say to them. You know why? Because I say, actually, do you know where Jesus Christ was for the 18 years he went missing? So they look at me puzzled. So Prabhupada actually mentions this in a book. He mentioned it to a philosopher, I think to a French philosopher, Prabhupada mentioned that, did you hear about the Aquarian Gospel? There's a Bible called the Aquarian Gospel. And in that book, it's very, very interesting, because in that book, it tells you where Jesus Christ was the time he was missing for that 80 years. 18 years. He was in Egypt. He was all over the place. And he was in Orissa. He was in Orissa with the Brahmins. I didn't read the full thing, but he was, you know, in all the holy, different holy places. So I asked them this question, do you know where he was? Then they look at me. I said, the next time you go to the library, then look this book up. Look this book. It's called the Aquarian Gospel, and you will actually know where Jesus Christ has been for the 18 years. And I also say to them that, you know, Jesus Christ, God comes according to time, place, and circumstances. And actually, he did mention to the people that I have many more things to say to you, but you are not ready for it yet. So they think, how you know so much about, you know, the Bible? I said, I know the Bible, so you have to read Bhagavad Gita. You have to read all the different scriptures before you say, mine is the only way. You have to be very broad-minded. I said, birth, death, old age, and disease is for everyone, not only for the Christians, the Muslims, or the Hindus. God is not a Hindu God, Muslim God, or Christian God. God is God, the Supreme Personality. So we have to be very open and broad-minded and read a lot, you know, before we make conclusions about the material world. So I'll just speak about Radha Kund. Any questions about that? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned a very interesting point in the beginning of your class about how we measure our advancement by seeing also how devotees relate to us. So, and Krishna says that in the Gita, that one who works in pure devotion is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to them. Just wondering if you could explain a little bit more about that, because obviously we see sometimes in devotees' lives, even exalted devotees, sometimes they're very much disliked. And sometimes even that, not that they're disliked, but they're just ignored, or people just don't even recognize them. They're not even really even known or related to in that way. So just wondering, like, so we know that teaching is there, that a devotee becomes dear to everyone. But we're just wondering if you could explain a little bit more about it so we can judge in our own life how to use that to measure our advancement.
Okay. So I think Krishna says that to Arjuna, isn't it? One who is my devotee's devotee is more dear to me than my actual devotee. Devotees are das, that's what we say. So it's very, very important that we understand that we still condition souls in the material world. We're not perfect to establish a perfect relationship with every individual. I was listening to a class once by Jayadvaita Maharaj, and he mentioned that you can try to patch up things or make friends with your enemy, so-called enemy, but if it doesn't work, you can only go so far, and if it doesn't work, then you respect them from a distance. You cannot put a force on, it becomes a bit artificial relationship. So as long as we condition souls in the material world, and we're trying to be devotees, we're aspiring to perfection, then that's going to always be there. But our foremost dealings with all the devotees is to be kind, follow try to follow the 26 qualities of a devotee. Kind, gentle, humor. So many prayers we say in the morning, right? Sometimes when we say all these prayers, it goes so fast. Are we conscious? Chunada, peace, and niche, and I want to chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. How often we stop to think, you know, really, think about what we're saying. Think of, one should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street and more tolerant than a tree. If we're saying this every day, and we're not putting it into practice, then what are we doing? We're failure, aren't we? So however we're praying, whatever teachings that's imbibed unto us, we have to, jnana means knowledge, but vigyan means realized knowledge. If we don't put into practice what we're hearing, then there's no point. It just becomes a mechanical process of devotional service. And according to Namamrita, you can chant millions of lifetime and you won't achieve that goal. You can be chanting forever all your life. So we need to, whatever we're learning, we have to put it into practice. This is the thing. We have to keep trying. We might fail time and time again, but perseverance. Prabhupada says, practice, keep practicing, and then one day it'll become second nature. So if we keep trying, we're practicing, and we're praying, prayer. Prayer is very important because when we're practicing and we're making a little advancement, when we think it's from our own accord, then there's a stumbling block again. So main thing is, my dear Lord, I want to be friends with this devotee. I've upset this devotee. I know this devotee is sad and, emotional and not happy, but somehow I am unhappy. But through that unhappiness we have, there's a purification process going on. So if we take the humble position and, try our best to patch things up, then Krishna will help. He'll intervene himself and help the process move forward. So trying and praying. That's all we can do. If nothing works, then we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. That's the only way. But this chanting of the holy name, it's explained that Jayadvaita Maharaj was saying, Prabhupada said, if you follow the four regulative principles, just following the four regulative principles, all other things will follow away. You seriously follow the four regulative principles and it will follow away. So we have to seriously take at least the four regulative principles, chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, taking prasadam, going on harinam. You see, so all these things are there. We have to put our focus on all the positive things in our life. Everything that positive and anything negative happens, we try to correct, but not put our focus. Whatever happened yesterday, I'm not going to worry about today. We don't worry about the past. Past is history. We don't worry about the future. Future is our destiny. Prabhupada said, worry about now. What am I doing? Am I chanting? Am I reading? Associating with devotees? What am I doing? Is it something beneficial to my life in my service to Krishna and Guru? Now, what am I doing now? I could drop dead. Who would have known that Satyavrata, he went to India? Who would have known? He went, and to die in Vrindavan is the most glorious. Vrajanath, Satyavrata's father, right? So to die, to leave your body in Vrindavan is not an ordinary person, right? To just go to Vrindavan and leave there. Some people have been practicing for, so long, years and years. And who knows, how they pass. But we cannot judge how people leave their bodies. According to Shastra, it's explained that once a person is a devotee, it doesn't matter how they leave their body, as long as they have a focus, the consciousness is more important than this material body, we might think, oh, it's such a tragic way this person lived. Is it karma? Is it this? We get into a whole big speculation about why this poor person left in this particular way. But actually, everything depends on the consciousness of that individual or that soul. Can I go into Radhakund, please? Okay, I'll just give it very quickly because it's such a beautiful story and I get all excited when it comes to story or pastimes. But Prabhupada did mention that we have to be very, very careful when we talk about these pastimes. It's not a light thing. It's very, very deep. It's not anything to be talking about on a regular daily basis like, you know, sometimes we compare the pastimes of Krishna to the material world conditioned, and that can be very dangerous. So anyway, this Radhakund pastime was in a place called Arita, which is like 3 miles from the northeast of Govardhan and 14 miles from Mathura and Vrindavan. So Kamsa, as usual, sends demons to kill Krishna and Balaram. He's been trying so many times. So this one time, he sent a demon in the form of a bull, Aristasura, sent to kill Krishna and Balaram. So anyway, when the bull got there, it went straight to attack Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without any problems, this demon was killed. So that evening, at night, Krishna wanted to go and see Radharani. So when he went to see Radharani, there was like some kind of exchange going, a conversation. So obviously Krishna went to touch Radharani. She said, back off, no, you cannot touch me. This is a conversation between the two. You cannot touch me because my body is pure and yours is contaminated. So because you killed a bull which belongs to the family of cows. So in that way, you have sinned. You're not pure. But Krishna said to her, how can this be? How can I have sinned? Because this was a dangerous demon, and I killed the demon. So Radharani didn't accept this. And all the other gopis, the sakis, supported her. So Krishna said, okay, what do I do? How can I atone for this sin? She said, okay, what you can do, bathe in all the holy places. You go and bathe in all the holy places, and in that way you will be atoning for your sin. So Krishna was where he was. He just dug his heels in the ground and formed a well and summoned all the holy places to be present there. So when they were there, he personified, he said, now you enter into this lake as water. So all these personalities, they entered into this lake as water. And Krishna went in and he bathed in this beautiful, cool, clear, crystal water. So he came out and so he said to Radharani, now I've atoned. And he said, Radharani, look at this beautiful lake. He said, isn't it beautiful? It's got such nice, cool water. And she wasn't liking this. Radharani wasn't liking it. She thought he was boasting. He was boasting of his creation. So she said, okay, I'm going to show you, I'm going to do something more exquisite than your lake, your kund. So she got all the sakis together. They went to Manasa Ganga. So they went there and they started bringing water. So the gopis and Radharani, they got all the bracelets out and they started digging to try and make another well. And then they were filling water, but nothing was happening. It was dry still. So then Radharani, Krishna summoned all the holy places that they should insist to Radharani to take the water from Krishna Kund, from Shambhu Kund, and fill that well. But Radharani didn't know this. So anyway, before she could ask the the holy places to fill the kund, she didn't ask. So what happened was, lost my train of thought, 1 minute. Yeah, so she, then the demigods, they prayed to Radharani, all the holy places personified, they prayed to her and they offered her glorification. Because they prayed and offered glorification so nicely, then she asked them to actually create a well for her. Little did she realize that they were already summoned by Krishna. So what then automatically a current came about from Shyamakund to Radhakund. So it's actually the same water that's flowing there. And she thought it was her own kund, Radharani. So anyway, Krishna said to her, this would be the most sacred kund in the whole planet. And anyone that bathes in this kund will get Krishna prema, because this kund is non-different than my love for Radharani. So, and he said, I will personally bathe in this kund daily, Krishna says that. So anyway, Prabhupada said we have to respect and honor the kund. In the beginning, I think devotees were splashing and jumping and, playing the water. So Prabhupada explained to them that this is a very special, very sacred kund. We have to, respect. You can bathe, it's just, dunk in and out and respect the kund. So it's a very deep subject matter. It's not for like everyday speaking, but because it's Radha Kund today, just a little story to get everyone knowing what it's about. So, anything? Anyone? Oh, you're okay. Trantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Radha Kund appearance ki jai, Go Preminande Haribo.